Continuing through our open line hour, it's the 9 o'clock hour here at Rosie on the House. Anything about your house, home, castle, or cabin you, the Arizona homeowner, want to talk about, you can join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. And at 9:30, new to this year, our 30th anniversary, we're following our home maintenance calendar, and we cover our weekly to-do in this third segment to keep up with the maintenance that our homes require. And this one goes a little bit away from physical care of the home. And when we covered it yesterday and published the blog of someone kind of teasing us like, oh, great, we're going to be getting home improvement advice from Dave Ramsey now because it's about maintaining your credit score. Well, to get in the home to begin with, you've got to have a good credit score. You've got to own the home. You've got to have that home finance. And why wouldn't we cover that from time to time? So we brought in our special guest, Galaxy Lending, Mr. Harold Perkins.
Hi, Romy.
So let's talk about best practices for your credit score, because I do completely agree with the debt-free living platform, but why not live debt-free and also have a great credit score? You can have both. You don't have to have one or the other. And I get that to have a great credit score, you've got to be making payments, but you can make payments without being in debt.
You can. And credit's a big deal, especially when we're talking about home loan financing and mortgage financing. It's one of the first things that that we're going to look at, because your credit score is going to have an impact on the terms, on the overall cost of the loan. And of course, the higher your credit score is and the higher your credit rating is, then the better your terms on that loan are going to be. And your credit score is just a picture of your payment history during the past, and using what you've done in the past and a score assigned to that, it's a predictor of what you're going to do in the future. And so the bank is willing to give you better terms as your score is higher. It's a little more risky as your score is lower, and so the terms aren't going to be as good. So maintaining that score is very important.
And I don't like it as much as the next guy. You feel kind of like you're sucked into the system and like, you know, you've got to play this game, but your alternative isn't good. And a good credit score is going to save you money, and saving money is part of being debt free.
Exactly, and so the one goes hand in hand with the other, and the tricky part about it is the credit score itself is also very mysterious. Not all of us know how the score works and how you get to that perfect credit score, and a lot of what you're looking at is counterintuitive to what you would think as far as having a better score. Just as an example, your credit cards, which generally have lower balances on it than your mortgage might, your credit cards have a higher impact on your score than your mortgage does, and so, which is very counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that that's the case, and so it is. It's important. Bottom line, the most important thing is make sure you pay everything on time. That's going to be the biggest part. And then we get into how you balance your credit, how you use your credit, and then that's going to help make the score go up.
One interesting point you had made when we were working on this article was that a credit score doesn't always, 700 here doesn't mean 700 there.
There are different models. There are different scoring systems. So we're all familiar with Equifax and TransUnion and Experian, but even within those credit bureaus, they have different models that come up with different scores, and they work on different scales. So, as an example, if you apply for a mortgage, the scoring model that we're looking at for Equifax is different than if you were applying for an auto loan. So yeah, when you head down to Sanderson and apply for the financing there, they're looking at the same bureaus, but on a different model. And so you can have the same person exactly and get told that you have two different credit scores. Or when you look at Credit Karma, or you go online and look at an online credit score service, the score that they give you could be different than what you're seeing from a creditor that you go apply to. So it's important also to know what model you're looking at. And that depends on the creditor.
And what do you think of Credit Karma and these online free services that manage? Are they decent?
Oh, yeah, they're fine. They're perfect. Because the most important thing is to make sure that the information on your credit report is accurate. So setting aside the score, not that it's not important, but you want to make sure the information on the credit report is as accurate as it possibly can be. And pretty much everybody's credit report, everybody has something that's inaccurate on it. And so sometimes that can be a negative to your score, definitely. So use services like Credit Karma and that kind of thing just to monitor what's on your credit report. Make sure that there's not, and also for identity theft, make sure that there's not an account that you never heard of, that you never opened, that maybe somebody opened in your name. That can lead to collections, things that are just don't belong to you. So the services like that are fantastic. You can look at your credit report without having the inquiry onto your credit report. It's as a consumer, you have access to that. So that's something absolutely should be done.
And I'll contest to that about something inaccurate on everyone's report. When I signed up for my Credit Karma account, just out of curiosity to see how it works and what it is and everything, there was a delinquent balance from a 2006 loan on a Toyota. There isn't a Romero I know of, and there's a lot of us that owns a Toyota.
Right.
So, but it's not like you can say, hey, this is wrong, and it goes away. You know, it took like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks for all the verification to come down to the line that, no, this is not Romy's, take this off, clear it, and move it off of the report.
There is a dispute process that you'll have to go through, and sometimes it's cumbersome, but in the long run, absolutely worth it, because especially if there were delinquent payments reporting on your report, that had a negative impact on your score. And so then when you go to get financing for mortgage or auto or anything else, and that score is lower, the terms on your financing are going to be affected. So a few weeks of work and hassle to get rid of something that's inaccurate on your credit report in the long run is going to save you tons and tons of money. So it's worth it. Do it.
And getting that done now while you don't need it will only help you at the time you may need to use your credit. You know, if you walked in today and I went to go buy a car and it shows this delinquent account that's not mine, well, obviously my score is going to be a lot different, so my rate's a lot different. And let's just say I needed the vehicle today because my other one was in a barbecue for whatever freak accident. You know, I'd be stuck paying that higher interest rate because of a bad credit for something that was inaccurate. So making sure it's maintained and clean, you know, it's just a best practice because you never know what life's going to bring you.
Definitely. And then even in our end of things, when we talk to somebody that's getting ready to purchase a home and they think that their timeline might be a few months down the road or 6 months down the road, we'll still encourage that person. Let's take a look at your credit. Let's go through it together. Let's see what's on there, because we're expecting everything to be just fine. But what if it's not? And so now we have the time while you're preparing to purchase a home, we have the time to correct any inaccuracies that might be on the credit report. And then when you are ready, the terms of your loan could be better because of it.
All right. So best practices for getting to and maintaining a high score. And what's our ultimate goal?
If you're going to work in the perfect credit model, the way the scoring system has been set up, the scoring system wants to see you have at least two credit cards. One of them, a regular Visa, MasterCard, general credit card. It also likes to have you have a store card of some kind.
Why is that?
It's a different mix of credit, and so that the scoring system looks at the mix of your credit and the diversity in your credit use, and it focuses a lot on credit cards. The credit card usage is about 35% of your overall credit score. So if your goal is to have the highest credit score possible, a couple of credit cards, one general, one store card, and then ideally you never carry a balance higher than 10% of the credit limit. We, of course, recommend
now, that. Now, on carrying that, do you have to get up to 10%? Do you have to use that? You know, the Visa is easy because you can put your gas on there.
Right.
You can put your groceries on there. But a particular store one, I don't know if like Fry's or Safeway or Sprouts has their own credit card. My immediate mind is Cabela's, and I want to make sure that, Amanda, you hear this from Harold, that he's telling me I need to go get a Cabela's credit card. How much do I need to put on that Cabela's card every month to maintain perfect? My goal is perfection here.
Okay, a Cabela's or a Target or something. It doesn't matter. You don't have to use the card every month. You need some activity occasionally, but it's not something where you have to maintain a balance. We actually encourage everybody to pay their balances off each month. Why pay interest on the card if you don't have to? So we'll encourage you to, you want to have the activity. You want to charge the things that you would normally do, but not overextend yourself. We're certainly not saying that you should charge up your cards. We're certainly not saying that you should extend yourself just for the sake of the credit score. Absolutely not. Pay off the balances. Don't pay interest. It's just having the activity on the account is what makes your score go higher. And then as you get to a point that you are carrying balances, or maybe there's an emergency and so you're not able to pay it off, then your goal is to just keep the balance as low as possible relative to the credit limit. And then if you have to carry that balance, just work towards paying it down as quickly as you can.
And like you said, a 10% on a daily app, you know, month in, month out, year over year, pretty easy math. $10,000 limit, don't go over $1,000 on your card for that ideal score. But if you do have a $10,000 limit and you've got to put, let's say, $8,000 for a roof on there, that's probably a lot easier. You know, when the roof's leaking, you're going to fix it.
Yeah.
When the plumbing's leaking, you're going to fix it. And a lot of construction service companies take credit cards now. Nobody took credit cards when I started this in the 90s. That was a foreign thing to do a credit card. But there's hardly any that don't accept one now. And, you know, you're stuck in that situation where I need this now. The roof is leaking. I need to fix the roof. I've got all this equity, but it's not like I can just go pull that equity out like I can just swipe a credit card.
Right. And so it is. If we were going to do a home equity loan or refinance to cash out some of the equity in the property, that process is going to take longer than you have to fix the roof. And so if it is something where you need in an emergency like that, that's what credit cards are for. It's for an emergency. And so then your goal at that point is to work towards bringing that balance down as quickly as you can. That initial charge on the card is going to have a negative impact on your credit score, because now we're talking about, in that example, a credit card balance that's 80% of your credit limit. And that's going to be looked at as a negative from the scoring model. But then as the balance comes down, the credit score will go up, and it recovers pretty quickly. It's always just a picture of what's happening at that time. So if one month there's an $8,000 balance on the card, the score is going to be a little bit lower. The next month you've got it down to $1,000, the score is going to go up immediately.
And freak things happen. Arizona, October, biggest rain month ever recorded. If you didn't fix that roof, 4 to 6 inches, depending on where you're on the state, of water would have entered your home through that penetration. We just had a ton of rain. And so, you know, unfortunately, there are people that were stuck, scrambling to figure out how to fix that just because we weren't prepared. And the point of the broadcast is to help everyone be prepared for whatever financial need. And, you know, you don't want to ever become a slave to your home, which unfortunately can happen if you're stuck in a bad situation just because we weren't paying attention.